You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's a little better. Thank you for worshiping with us today. Are we online, Lisa? Maybe? We are. Good. Thank you for joining us today. For those who are online, we pray that you would be blessed by our time of worship together. We're going to begin by singing our first song, House of the Lord. So please stand, and we will begin to worship. All set. Yeah.
Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord.
Thank you. Please turn and greet one another this morning. Welcome to worship. Good morning. That's pretty weak. Let's try it again. Good morning. That's better. A little better. If you'd like to turn in your bulletin, we'll go through a few announcements today before we continue on with worship. You'll see, mark your calendars there for the times when we will not be doing confirmation, good news, and youth Sunday school through the Christmas season. The youth group Christmas party and last meeting until January will be held on December 14th, and that is a Wednesday, so that will be their Christmas party. Christmas Eve, there will be a Christmas Eve service at 4 o'clock here, and also we are trying to accommodate as many so we can get our council, as much of our council together as possible, so we're going to try a Wednesday council meeting, and I have not approved this with my wife yet, but I'd like to have it at our house. Oh, I did approve it. That's good about me because I forget everything. Okay, so council, please meet at Julie's and my house on December 7th. It's Wednesday. It's not this coming Wednesday, but the next Wednesday. And trustees will meet at 6:30, and we will be there, and we'll probably have goodies, more than likely. That's good. Okay, birthdays and anniversaries. Today, Donnie and Jenny Schmiedeberg. Are they here? They are. Jenny and Donnie is too. Donnie, do I dare ask you? How many years? That's private. Jenny, do you know how many years? 23. Let's give him a hand. That's a big deal. Thank you. Goes fast, doesn't it? It's crazy. Kids grow up. And man. Okay. Tuesday, we have Ty Vig's birthday, and Friday is Jody Peterson's birthday. Is Jody here? Yep. How many years? Just kidding. Just kidding. I would never do that. Well, I would. Okay. Christmas. Sunday School Christmas program will be held on Saturday, December 17th at 5. Song practices, you'll see, will be during the Sunday school opening. Program practices will also be held on Wednesday, November 30th, December 7th, and December 14th from 4:30 until 5. Is everything coming together for that? Do you know? Good? Okay. Awesome. And fellowship committee event today after church, you will, if you have been over to the fellowship hall, you'll see there's lots of decorations and just a lot of treats and hot chocolate and it's very, and what?
Ornaments
too. Yeah, you're going to make ornaments. So please stay after for that and just have a good time of fellowship together. So thank you, fellowship committee, for putting that all together for us. Everybody's welcome. So anything else this morning? Nothing else. Boy, you are a quiet bunch. It's not normal. Okay, well, we are going to have the ushers come forward then, if we could, please. Praise team, come on back up. And for those who are online, please send in your prayer requests. We would love to pray for you. And wherever you are at, please support your local ministries, your churches, wherever you are. And I just thank you for being a part of our service today. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We praise you for all that you do in our lives. Lord, we thank you for those who have served so many ways, God, over the last few days as we have celebrated lives and as we have grieved as families, Lord, as well as encouraged We pray there's been many. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless this offering. Bless the ministry of this church, Lord. May we just honor you in all that we do. And God, we pray that you'd bless this offering now and just bless this service. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So please sing along with us. Count your blessings. This is one we did many, many years ago.
The scripture for today is Philippians 4, 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Prayer requests. Lisa. So she needs to be cleared of all that, I imagine, before that can happen. Okay, thank you, Lisa. Yes.
Doing better. Yep. Doing better. You still got a little ways to go. But
so August.
August is doing better. Yeah.
What's the last name again? Graves.
Yep, Graves. Yep.
Okay. Yes.
It looks like the Wickish has reached their ministry objective for the Wasaya Bible Camp, so they're giving praise for that.
Awesome. That is great news. Jody.
Kate has been battling these respiratory things.
Who has? I'm sorry. Okay. And is it Ava or Ada?
Ada.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay, thank you. Peggy.
Shannon did yes to you on Tuesday for her shoulder.
Okay.
And also my sister Joey, we have chemo again. Go with her to chemo again tomorrow. Just praising God that she's feeling better after giving blood.
Okay, great. Peter. Yeah. Joni. Thank you. Megan. Yes. We have a praise item sitting in the back, right? An engagement. Can't miss those. Liz and Daniel. I knew Liz, but I sometimes get you boys mixed up. So congratulations, Liz and Daniel. Okay, anything else? Sorry, Lisa. Okay. Anything else? Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and first of all, we just want to praise you, for you are worthy of all of our praise. I pray, God, that you would also just really help our hearts and minds to be focused on you and to shut out other things that may be distractions or thoughts, Lord God, and just help us to really give you our hearts and our minds this morning. We praise you, God, that we live in a country where we can come together and worship. We pray also that you would just protect and guide our servicemen and women, that you would give knowledge and insight and wisdom to our leaders. Lord God, through whatever way, we know that you have many ways to do that, and we just pray, God, that you would give them wisdom and direction. We pray for Ivy, Lord God, that you would just heal her of her pneumonia, and we just pray for her upcoming heart surgery to happen and to go well. We pray for many of the children in our community and of people that we know that are suffering with RSV, and it's very scary for these young children. And we just pray, God, that you would heal them. We pray for healing for August and for Ada and for others that we know of. Lord God, we just pray that you would just protect their lungs and just heal them, Lord God. We pray for this baby of Lila Hansen's, Lord. We just pray that you would continue to strengthen this little body and that you would just bring this child into full recovery. We are so grateful, Lord, that you provided the finances and the means for the Mikishes to be able to build a Bible camp in Canada and to just have more of an outreach than they already do. We just pray your blessing upon them and your protection from the enemy, Lord God, that of anything that may occur. We just pray, God, that you would guide them and just continue to bless this outreach. We pray for Michelle Turner, God. We just pray that she could get some answers and get some relief from all of this pain she's had in her back and shoulders. We pray also for Shannon's surgery on Tuesday. God, we just pray that you would bless the hands of the doctors and nurses, that you would just help Shannon to be obedient to what she is supposed to not be doing, and we pray that you would just bless her recovery. We thank you, Lord, that Jody's chemo has gone well, that she's feeling a bit better, and we just pray that you'll continue to do that and to strengthen her as she goes for her next treatment, and just bless those of who are caring for her, Lord God. We pray also for Luann. Lord, we just pray that you continue to comfort her and her family in the loss of her husband. And we pray that you would just also just strengthen her with her cancer, Lord God. Just give her an uplifted spirit, Lord. And we pray that you would just continue to bring people into her room or into her home that just continue to encourage her. We thank you, Lord, for all the people who helped out with the service for Carl, and we just thank you that we were able to honor his memory. We thank you that you were just very near us during that time. We pray, God, that you would just continue to guide the family through this time of grieving, and also for those of Bev and Bob's family. Lord God, we just pray that you would guide them and help them through this time of loss. And we pray for those traveling, Lord God, that you would keep them safe on the roads. We thank you and are excited for the engagement of Liz and Daniel. We just pray that you'll bless their relationship and guide their marriage, Lord God, that you would be the center of their life. And we also pray for the Theron Pearson family, God. We just pray that you would be with them and help them, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Julie. Praise team, come on back up and we will continue to worship. Please stand. We'll warn you, we're going to do a medley. Is that right?
Yeah. It's a medley of some old songs.
Running in, three songs together of the old songs.
So you older ones really sing it out. Looking at Jody.
He has made me glad.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we just often take so much for granted. Lord, most of all, we need to be grateful that you have given your life for us. Lord God, when we look at things around us and we tend to be judgmental or critical, we need to look at ourselves and know, God, that you are the one who saved us, and to just seek you for that and know, Lord God, that you desire for that relationship. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would bless this service and guide Galen as he talks to us about joy of the Spirit. And we just pray, God, that we would go forth in joy, that we would reflect you in all that we do. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Before I start, I just wanted to thank all of you that have been praying too for Bev and Bob and their families. I've been was visiting with Jim Hewitt this morning and Karen Cope, and they definitely would appreciate your prayers. They'll be doing a service for Bev on Thursday in Arizona, and there will be a graveside sometime in the spring up here, and we will let you know when that takes place. So, but thank you very much for being there through this very difficult time. So today we are looking at the Holy Who one more time, trying to understand more about the Holy Spirit and his involvement in our lives. So we're doing part 11 of a four-part series. Not really. I never intended four parts. But there's going to be a lot more parts. But this is Bring On the Joy. And last Sunday we talked about joy, but this is actually joy part 2 of part 11 of the Holy Who. Confused you yet? One thing that just amazes me in Scripture, and I've thought of it many, many times, of what it would have been like to be the apostles when they left the Sanhedrin and they were just going through a rough time because of their faith. And in Acts 5:41, we are told that they rejoiced as they left the Sanhedrin after they'd been beaten because they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Isn't that incredible? That's the kind of joy that I want. In Romans 5:3, Paul writes, he says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance." And what we have learned about perseverance when we suffer is that it matures us in our faith, in our walk with Christ. Amazing. Paul also writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12:10. He says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, that I delight in weakness. I delight in insults and in hardships, in persecutions and difficulties, because I have found that when I am weak, then I am strong." Isn't that beautiful? That's the kind of joy and the kind of faith that I wished and I pray that I can have one day. So my first question that I ask myself is, how do I bring on joy in my life? How do I bring on the joy of the Lord into my life? Or how can we rejoice always, as we heard in Philippians? And I want us to just look at this and be very transparent, as we should be. It's not always easy, and sometimes it seems literally impossible, especially in trials, in the hard times, to be joyful all the time. And how can we live with joy when grief seems to overwhelm us? Joy is hard to hold on to. Joy is something that every one of us long for and have many, many times in our lives. Well, last week we talked about James, the brother of Jesus, and we heard how he says we need to rejoice whenever we face trials of many kinds. And why? Because we basically learn to persevere so that we grow in our faith, that we become mature in Christ. And there should be joy in that. As I have visited with Ray and Catrice and Jim and now Karen, there's sadness there, but there is also a rejoicing, just imagining what Bev is experiencing right today. Joy and grief, sometimes they do go together. Well, I want to look at a few men from Scripture that I have always admired and at the same time can definitely relate to. The first one is Job. Now, Job, from what we know of Scripture, he was a very faithful man. He was strong in his witness. He was a leader in his family. He was faithful. Job seemed to have it all together, but, and that's a big but. In Job 3:11, Job says, "I wish that I had never been born." He had lost literally everything, and his joy seemed to be completely gone, and he says, "God, I wished I was never born." And then there was David, you know, David the shepherd boy, David the giant killer, David the king, David the run and hide kind of guy, David the sinner just like us. So what happened to David that caused him to run away? And he was basically had lost his joy. And we hear about this so many times in the Psalms. Listen to how David prayed that he actually would become a bird and could fly away. In Psalm 55, 6 through 8, David says, "I said, oh, that I had wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee away, far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and the storm." And then there was Elijah. Even after Elijah defeated the 450 prophets of Baal, God had his hand in that, of course. He defeated 450 prophets of Baal, a false god. And then we hear that Elijah runs to the desert and asks God to please take his life because there's this crazy wicked woman after me. Her name is Jezebel. So check this out. Now Ahab, one of the most evil kings of Israel, told Jezebel, his wife, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not take your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid, ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. But Elijah goes on, says, "While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I've had enough, Lord,' he said, 'take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors.'" Doesn't seem like much joy there either. And so Job, David, and Elijah, they struggle to find joy in these circumstances, and wouldn't you? I don't know what Jezebel was like, but I think I would have been running right alongside Elijah to get away. I can't imagine going through everything that Job went through and still find joy in my life. Or in King David, who battled with so many things in his life. So many things. And eventually was running from Saul because he was worried that he would be killed. Well, I'm sure it was hard, almost impossible for these three men to find joy in those circumstances. What do you think? Have you been there? Maybe our situations weren't quite the same. But I said I was going to be transparent, and I have been there. I have screamed to God. As I thought of it, I thought of three times in my life. Being afraid, being so angry, threw rocks at the sky, thinking I could hit him. Not much joy there. But as I look back on my life, I think, what was my problem? What was Job's problem? What was David's problem? What was Elijah's problem? You see, all four of us had fixed our eyes on our circumstances. We took our eyes off of what we were supposed to fix our eyes on. For we are told to fix our eyes on who? Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That's where our joy comes from. As I said last week, the joy that we're talking about is not dependent on our circumstance. Just like the love of God, the joy of the Lord is a gift to us from God. And that's the first thing that we need to remember. That true joy is both a gift from God, and it is a call for us to be live in this response into God's goodness with joy and with love. Joy comes to us when we are aware of God's grace and favor. That's what I have found. When I come to the realization a little bit more of how amazing God is, I can definitely see why Paul, towards the end of his ministry and the end of his life, he was beginning to speak more like, I am a wretch. I am so unworthy because God is so holy. Joy comes to us when we are aware of God's grace, when we are aware of his favor. No matter what you're going through, if you realize that God is your source of strength and that he provides you with everything that you need, then whatever you're going through really doesn't seem as big of a deal because you know that God is your source of strength. Even when your emotions are messing with you or your feelings begin to lead you astray, maybe down the path of false teaching or a pity party, I've been there. Playing the blame game, been there. Feeling like the world is out to get you, been there. God is always there. He gives us this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit, and he has this wonderful fruit basket for us, right? So far we've heard of fruit one, which is love, fruit two, which is joy. And I know it sounds impossible to have joy all the time, especially when we face trials. I understand that. But Paul clearly tells us in Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't hear him the first time, he says, I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, Paul says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. Think about such things. You know, with these words in mind, it becomes evident to us that the best way to take our eyes off ourselves and our circumstances, off of our failures, our mistakes, is to focus on the true source of our joy, which is Jesus Christ, which is God's goodness. We are told that he is our source of strength, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is where we are called to find our true value. Our true identity is in Jesus Christ. If you look anywhere else, whether it be your value or your identity or your worth, I promise you, you'll be severely disappointed. Think about Noah for a minute, another amazing man. Do you think it was difficult for Noah to find joy during the first 100 years of building the ark? The first 90 years. How about the first 45 years as he would build the ark and he would talk about rain and people would laugh at him and say, what's rain? What are you talking about? Why are you building an ark? There's no water. Why are you saying that God is going to flood the earth? What about Noah's wife and his sons and their wives? Do you think they questioned Noah on more than one occasion, saying, are you sure God said it was going to rain? Year 75, are you really sure, God, that or Noah, that it's going to rain? Sometimes we think that we are in circumstances for a really long time, and we wonder how much longer we can hold on. We all face stuff in our lives that rob us of the joy that we are told to have. So how do we experience this joy? How can we bring it on? And can we? Well, we touched on it last week, but I think we need to hear the words of Jesus. We need to look at it one more time in the Gospel of John. And Jesus says, he says, as the Father has loved me, just like that, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You know, one of the greatest witnesses in my life have been people that serve sacrificially. They do life without expecting anything in return. I think those are just bits and pieces of what Jesus has done for us and how he teaches us to love. God's love is perfect. It is sinless. It's without blemish or flaw. God's love is unending. And he is present in your life every moment of every day, whether we recognize it or not. When you are in Christ, we are blessed with this incredible love of a Father. And we are told that his love never fails in 1 Corinthians. And so Jesus tells us that we need to stay in this love. We need to abide in it. And we need to just remain in it. And how do we do that? How do we remain in his love when our world seems to be falling apart? One of the keys to living in joy in our lives begins to me with surrender to Christ. I just had this discussion with a young man this week, trying to help someone who is so busy blaming everyone else for his situation. And I would say to him, I said, I can't help you until you quit blaming and begin to surrender. When you truly want help, just let me know. Those are hard words to say. But he knew that I spoke them in love. Abiding in Christ, remaining in Christ, I believe, begins with surrender. We should be so completely abiding in Christ that we should respond just as Paul did in Philippians 1:21, and that's what I'm talking about. I want this kind of faith. For me to live is Christ, and if I die, that's even better. To die is gain. If that is your heart, your desire, your surrender, then I believe joy will be more evident for you and will be more consistent in your life. Another way God brings us his joy, David wrote about it in Psalms. So listen to this, Psalms 19, 7 through 14. And David writes, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You hear it? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I almost want to sing it, don't we? This was a song. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And David writes, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. And David says, you are my rock, and you are my redeemer. I can go on to say, in whom I will trust, right? And one more way God helps us. The writer of Hebrews talks about community. And let me tell you, this week, more than many weeks, is a perfect example to my heart how much we need each other. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, when that amazing curtain was torn when he died, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, that would be Jesus Christ, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. You hear the encouragement to one another, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the day more as you see the day drawing near. And the last scripture I want to leave you with today is out of Hebrews as well, with this word of encouragement. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. And I love that last line. For God is a consuming fire. There is nothing he cannot do. There's nothing. As one friend shared with me many years ago, he said, I have sinned too much. How could God possibly ever want me? He was an atheist at the time. And I told him, you just don't know my God, because he is far greater than all your sin. Let's pray. Lord, in your word, Psalm 22:3, you tell us that you inhabit our praises. God, help us to realize that you are our strength. You are our joy. Your mercies are new every morning. You give us your Holy Spirit to live in us. Help us to realize that as we walk around this earth, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That wherever we go, we need to be the example of who you are in this world, Jesus. Help us to live lives that are pleasing and holy, and help us to hold on to the truth of your word, standing firm in our faith. Help us to hear from you. Help us to be good listeners. Help people to know that we are Christians by our love and by the joy that you set for us. And Lord, as we look into the next 2 weeks, God, we explore this amazing gift of peace, which passes all understanding. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to close our service today by singing our final song, We Gather Together. And remember to stay after, if you can, for hot chocolate and goodies and ornaments and all that good stuff. So please stand. Pray that you'd encourage us as we go from here, Lord, and that you would help us to encourage one another in our faith. Help us to walk by faith, God, not by sight. Help us to follow you with all our hearts. We just ask this all now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.